Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sneaky Sports Podcast, Season 4, Episode Number 4, on this Thursday, January 13th, 2022. Nick and Frank, how we doing?
Yeah, doing great as always. Ready to talk some playoff football.
Yeah, I'm ready to perfectly predict the playoffs this year, hopefully, and talk about Cam Reddish, and we're one Duke boy away, so.
Let's go. Cam to NY 2022. We didn't get KD, but we got Cam. That's good enough. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the football slate too. Frank went, 12-1 last year? So I want revenge. I went, 6-7. Terrible. But I've noticed in the past couple episodes, I saw in the comments, I've been saying 2021, and I said 2022 this time. I got it right this time.
But I was going to say, it sounded weird hearing you say 2022 for some reason.
I've been saying 2021. I haven't even noticed it. But, yeah, I mean, that's really what happens when you say it 100 times before. But moving on to what we'll talk about in today's episode, Frank kind of hinted at it, but we'll give our wild card game picks and talk Cam Reddish being traded to the Knicks along with our postseason expectations for the Memphis Grizzlies. And we'll wrap things up with some talk to us Thursday. So without further ado, let's dive on in and we'll start off with the first wild card game of the weekend, Raiders versus Bengals. This one at Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And coming into this game, the Raiders have won 4 straight to rally to 10-7, obviously coming off of the huge Sunday night football win over the Chargers. And as for the Bengals, they did not play their starters in week 18, or at least most of them. They rested their key players. And it's important to note also that these two teams did play in week 11, which the Bengals won that game 32-13. So the Bengals got the better of them in Las Vegas last time around. And now, you know, the Raiders looking for revenge in the jungle. I guess I'll start with me. I'm going to go with the Bengals just because the Raiders, I get that they scored 35 points last week, but outside of that performance, they really haven't been able to move the ball and score a lot of points. I mean, you look at a lot of their wins recently versus the Colts, where they scored 20 points, I think. The Browns, they scored 16 points. So, you know, their defense has been really doing a good job, but versus a high-powered offense like the Bengals, who, I mean, I think they're up there with the Chiefs and the Bills at this point. I think people don't understand how good this offense is yet, and I think it's because they're so new. But you look at the way they've been playing, you compare it to Josh Allen and the Bills with Stephon Diggs, you compare it to that explosiveness, you compare the Ja'Marr Chase connection with Joe Burrow to a Tyreek Hill, Pat Mahomes connection. I mean, that's how good it's been. And they also have T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, you know, Joe Mixon's an all Pro Bowl running back. So, yeah, I'm taking the Bengals in this one.
Yeah, I'm on board as well, but I do think this will be a close game. And the Raiders offense looked a little bit better against the Chargers.
The Chargers last week. Also have been really bad defensively, though.
Say that. Yeah, still, they got their offense back on track because Waller's healthy now, which was huge for them, and it's going to be big in this game as well. Huge. But I do think this will be a shootout, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if the Raiders won, but I'm going to take, in my eyes, the better quarterback, Joe Burrow, and I'm going to take Cincinnati to win this one. And I think this will be a really actually fun way to start the playoffs off, because I really think this is going to be just back and forth until the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. This is one of the games I'm most excited about for this weekend. It's two of my favorite kind of young up and coming teams. I guess the Bengals are more so young up and coming, but it's awesome that one of these teams is going to get a chance to compete in the divisional round. I'm leaning towards Cincy, as you guys alluded to, the explosive offense they have. Ja'Marr Chase can take any play to the house. The Raiders have been a great story. They've been a great team to watch this year, coming out of all that adversity and sneaking into the playoffs with that win over the Chargers. But unfortunately, I think the road ends here. I wouldn't be too surprised if they won, but I'm definitely leaning Cincy here, also playing at home. And as we talked about before, the Bengals already won once this season. So I think we're all in the same boat there. Give me Cincy.
Yeah, and I love Derek Carr. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
yeah, me too.
Played, you know, overall well this season, but we cannot just overlook how bad he's been playing recently, or not how bad, but he hasn't been playing above average. I mean, he has 5 interceptions in the last 5 games. He only has 6 touchdowns, I believe. His completion percentage, I mean, versus the Chargers wasn't that good. He didn't have the best game. And like, yeah, they haven't been scoring, you know, the most points. You look at the receivers they have. I mean, obviously losing Henry Ruggs, like they don't have that explosive playmaker. They, I mean, sure, they have Hunter Renfrow, who's been, you know, fantastic in the slot. They have Zay Jones, but like, do they have that, like, that guy? I guess Darren Waller could be, right, because obviously he's coming back. So it's just one of those things where, do I have enough confidence in them to go score for score? Right now, I don't, because I think Waller would need to have one of those games he had versus the Jets, like in 2020, where he went for 200 yards, and I don't really know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, and Waller's only had three games over 90 yards this year. He hasn't really been himself. He's been hurt a lot, so I don't really know which Darren Waller we're going to get. I mean, I know he made his long-awaited return last week, but he only had two catches, I think. He really wasn't,
he was limited,
you know,
though,
the game-breaker.
Yeah, he was still kind of hurt.
He wasn't the game-breaker that he was. I don't know if he's just going to be that in this playoff game. And, yeah, the Raiders haven't been scoring a lot of points. I think because of that, they're not going to be able to keep up with Cincy. I mean, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, these guys can score a touchdown on any play. And then you throw in Higgins and Boyd and Joe Burrow's cannon for an arm. It's tough to stop.
Yeah, and the Bengals defensively haven't been, like, I get it. The Chiefs game obviously was a shootout, but defensively, the Bengals have been much improved this year.
Yeah,
like Trey Hendrickson.
Even in that Chiefs game, in the second half, their defense was tremendous. They really put on the clamps, and they only let up 3 points. They were absolutely tremendous in that game. So I think there is some potential
overall
there. And when they've been all right. And listen, they have a solid pass rush. They got after the quarterback a decent, right? So I think they have all the tools to, I don't want to say make a deep run, but I don't know. I don't know who they'd play in the divisional round, obviously, but I don't know. This is a team that I really like. They're super explosive and, you know, any given Sunday.
And I think this is a team that shouldn't be underestimated because, to be honest with you, we've seen them go score for score with everyone. We've seen them go score to score with Kansas City, who's the best team, you know, in my eyes in this conference. So I really think that if Cincinnati, and I think that 1 week of rest was big for them actually too, but I really think if Cincinnati can beat the Raiders this week, show that high power on offense, they can beat anybody in this conference. And I say this all the time when we talk about playoffs, you need to be able to throw yourself back into a game. This is one of the few teams in the AFC that can throw themselves back in the game. Them, Kansas City, and Buffalo. The number one seed can't even throw themselves back into a game. So this team can make a run. And you know what? To be honest with you, Joe Burrow's confidence with Ja'Marr Chase, the connection, I really do think it's going to happen. I think Cincinnati will win at least one playoff game.
I completely agree.
Okay, so let's move on to this next game, Patriots and Bills. This will take place Saturday at 8:15. The game time high is expected to be 0 degrees. So we might have an ice bowl. This seems to be like that Monday night game that these teams had earlier on in the season, but we probably won't have those wins. But this is the third time they are meeting this season. The road teams won both time. The Patriots will be on the road here, obviously, as they were the wild card team. The Bills were the division winner. I think this is going to be a good one, but it looks like Josh Allen, you know, kind of figured out this Patriots defense last time they played, but I'm expecting Bill to shake some things up. You know, I'm going to go with the Patriots here. I think it's a kind of a bold pick, but I just can't bet against Bill Belichick in the playoffs. I think one thing I've learned over the years watching football is you never bet against Bill in the playoffs, and you never bet against Brady. And I think a lot of people don't believe that, and I think it's kind of crazy. So I'm going to take the Patriots here. I do think this will be a one-score game throughout, but I think it'll be a little bit low scoring than last time, and I think the Patriots have a better plan for Josh Allen in the passing attack.
Yeah, I know I'm going to get burned for this because you're right. You can't bet against Bill Belichick, but I'm going to do it right here. I think the Bills are a better team, and they've looked much better as of late. They've won 4 in a row, and they really looked dominant versus the Patriots the last time they played. Obviously, the weather is going to be a factor, but I don't see this game playing out like it did the last time the weather was a factor. I think the Bills are going to come in with a much better game plan. And obviously, Bill Belichick is a genius. He's going to have something up his sleeve. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Patriots are pretty unproven. They're pretty young. And I don't really trust. I'm not sure if I trust Mac Jones in this situation. I got to lean towards the Bills, who have been here before. They won some playoff games last year and they're at home. I know the road team has won both games, but that doesn't change my mind here. I'm going Bills.
Yeah, this game, I've flip-flopped my opinion back and forth, Bills, Patriots, but I'm going to go with the Patriots just because I think in a normal setting, a normal environment, you give them at least a 15 degree weather. I think the Bills run away with this game pretty convincingly, but in the cold, guys, it's hard to tackle. And the Patriots have a dynamic backfield with, you know, a couple of backs that they can, you know, mix in, you know, throughout the game, just keep rotating. And if you can't tackle those guys, they're going to run all over you. And I think the Patriots will run all over Buffalo. I get that they've been the number one ranked defense this season, but I mean, they don't have Trey White now. It's a different defense the last couple of weeks, and they went up against a lot of backup quarterbacks. Like, you look at, they went up against Davis Mills, who I guess has played better as of late. He's been really good as of late, but the Davis Mills the first couple of weeks was really bad. So they went up against that Davis Mills, the Taylor Heinicke. I mean, like, Jacoby Brissett, not anything special. Like, I mean, but that's a starting quarterback.
Yeah, but still,
there's a lot of backups. Yeah.
Look at the quarterbacks that they play, and even in their division alone, they don't even play any star quarterbacks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that just versus a team like the Patriots, I mean, sure, like, Mac Jones isn't anything special, but their running attack, I think, could be. I think they're like top five in rushing. So, yeah, I mean, just the weather itself kind of leans me to the Patriots, and I don't think Bill, in the playoffs is to be, you know, counted out. I think he'll bring a good game plan. I think he'll be ready. And yeah, I got the Pats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think more or less what we saw the first game, we'll see a little bit more this time. I think the Patriots are going to dominate on the run, on the ground, and just kind of keep the game out of Mac's hands. And their defense, you got to force some turnovers on Josh Allen, but they'll definitely have a better plan than last time, 'cause he picked them apart, and that won't happen again. There's just no way.
Allen has been prone to throwing picks this season. I think he has 15 of the season.
He threw a couple of picks against the Falcons, and he didn't really play a great game against the Jets the last week. So, I think with the cold weather, too, it's just much harder to throw the ball on everything. I think that's going to play a factor. And I'm telling you, the Bills won't do what they did to the Patriots the last game. There is no way. There is no way Bill will allow for that. There's just no way. So that's why I have to lean towards the Patriots, but I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo won. This was one of the games I think that I was actually flipping back and forth between. Most of the other ones I'm pretty set with my mind, but this was definitely one of the trickier ones where I think the lower seed will actually win.
Yeah, it's definitely a toss-up. I think most people would agree on that. But, you know, another thing that I kind of like about the Bills is Devin Singletary's really gotten going in the last month.
Okay, but it's been against some pretty questionable defenses. I think the Patriots play
like the exact same schedule as Buffalo, though.
Yeah,
so you can't use schedule when you're comparing two teams that have played.
I get it, Graf, but the game versus the Patriots, the Bills had Josh Allen was their leading rusher. I mean,
Devin Singletary struggled in that game.
114 yards rushing. That's not that much. 114 as a team's not that much at all.
It's like pretty standard, and that's only one game. Once again, the other three games, Devin Singletary's been over 100 a few times.
Okay, but it was the Falcons, Jets, and Panthers. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but like every team, like the Patriots plays those teams too, though. Like,
no,
they do.
I like this about the Patriots
when they play the same teams.
No, but has the Patriots' running attack not been consistently good? Buffalo's only shows up versus these bad teams. Versus the Bucs, they didn't show up like crazy. I mean, they're not showing up against the Saints. I think consistently
they were pretty close to beating the Bucs.
Yeah, but
they didn't play the whole first half.
Josh Allen's their leading rusher versus every good team they play. He had 109 yards, to be fair.
I mean, look at the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. Same thing. That's just part of the rushing attack. And they're the NFL's leading rushing team. Lamar Jackson is probably the Ravens' leading rusher in a lot of their wins.
But you look at the game versus the Saints, a good defense. Like Devin Singletary, 15 carries, 44 yards, leading rusher.
But didn't they win that game by like 30?
They did win that game, but 15 for 44.
I'm just confused. Like, if they can win in a multitude of ways, then like, how is that a bad thing?
I don't think they can, though, because I don't think they're going to be able to establish the ground game.
To be fair, that was versus the Saints when, like, they had Trevor Siemian threw, like, two picks. I think a pick six. Or he threw one pick, but I don't know if it was a pick six or not. But he played really bad. I mean, like, come on. They couldn't score. Like, they couldn't move the ball. That was more the defense and, like,
I don't know. I just
Josh
feel like
Allen
you guys
had four touchdowns. I mean,
you guys are killing the Bills for their schedule, and the Bucks or the, not the Bucks, the Patriots have had, for the most part, the exact same schedule.
No,
They all played the Jets twice. They all played Zach Wilson twice. You know,
that's
they all played
my argument. My argument is saying simply is this. I think the Patriots will have a better game plan than they did last time for Josh Allen's passing attack, and he won't be able to pick them apart. And with the cold weather, I'm going to give the advantage to the Patriots. They're better in the cold weather. It's easier to run the ball in the cold weather.
What I'm saying is that, like, running the ball-wise, I really do believe there's a real argument that they haven't been able to run the ball versus good teams. You look at the – You look at the schedule. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. You see the good teams they play, the good defenses. They don't run the ball well. Josh Allen's their leading rusher. You look versus the bad teams. Devin Singletary goes out for 170.
Okay, but the example you used was the Saints, and I have the number right here. The Patriots had 49 rushing yards versus the Saints. They haven't been able to run the ball versus good teams either then. I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, that was early in the season.
They've all played the same teams. And my point is Buffalo's rushing attack has gotten better throughout the season, and there's no denying that. And you keep saying, oh, well, they played this team and that team. But New England has played the same team. Let me see the
overall. What about the overall numbers? I guarantee you Buffalo's way behind New England.
I'm sure for the course of the whole season.
Yeah, but I'm passing New Buffalo.
Okay, yeah, no, Buffalo, but I think the 0-degree weather with, you know, Bill Belichick going against making adjustments the second time around, I think Belichick will be ready this time, make adjustments, cold weather game. I think it's going to be tough. And I think tackling is hard to tackle somebody in the cold.
Fair, but like, you know, like the Bills are also allowed to make adjustments too, you know, like this is like Bill Belichick isn't the only guy allowed to like make adjustments.
I hear you. I hear you. But the Patriots, I mean, their passing attack was really bad. So it's not like they have.
Yeah, but that's part of the whole deal of having a rookie quarterback. And not to sound like a downer, but he's not necessarily the most talented rookie quarterback we've ever seen either. That's all a part of the struggles. He's not going to be there every week. He's not going to deliver every week like Aaron Rodgers or something. Like, he's going to have some bad games. And, you know,
Josh Allen hasn't really had some great games either.
I know, but his legs. No, Josh Allen's had some good games. Come on.
Josh Allen had some very good games.
He threw three picks against the Falcons, didn't play a good game against the Jets. If we're talking about recency, the last good game that Josh Allen had was against the Patriots.
I mean, in the Bucs, I think he played really – I think he had a good game versus the Bucs, 110 rushing yards. Yeah, but
the Patriots after that. That's what I'm saying. Look at the last 2 weeks. Josh Allen hasn't been any sort of impressive whatsoever. Okay, but, and bad weather in both of those games.
Yeah. See, no, that's why I think the cold weather games – like, Buffalo being in Buffalo hurts them so much because, like
– Yeah, but if Buffalo played in a dome or somewhere warm weather, it'd give that team a massive advantage.
I don't know. I think you guys just kind of like – you almost sound like a Josh Allen hater right now because the dude had 4,500 yards and like 45 total touchdowns.
Listen, I'm not a Josh Allen hater.
He wasn't productive this year.
We didn't say that.
He hasn't been impressive. He had one bad game versus Atlanta. I mean, Mac Jones has had countless bad games.
He had a horrible game against the Jets as well.
He didn't have a horrible game. He had two touchdowns and he kept the ball out of harm's way. Was he the most accurate ever? Not necessarily, but like,
okay. But has he played good in a cold weather game? No,
I think he played okay last week. I don't think he was horrible last week.
I think if he does that, but their running game will need to step up like it did last week. And I don't know.
The Jets played the Bucs pretty close. I think the Jets just closed out the season kind of strong too. Like, I don't think, like, you guys are just discounting these teams. Like, they're not NFL.
Oh no, the
teams.
No,
like NFL teams, and like you're not just going to throw for seven touchdowns every time you play the Jets. You know,
I'm just talking about the running game. Josh Allen played fine.
Why has Josh Allen played a good game in the cold weather?
I mean, probably last year.
I don't know the temperature of all his games.
He only has had a couple.
I'm just saying, if I have to pick. Patriots defense or Josh Allen, I'm picking the Patriots.
And come
defense.
On, it's cold in New England, bro. It's cold in New England. Let's not act like December football in New England is like warm.
You got to realize like 0 degrees is a different feeling of cold. These guys aren't going to be able to feel their hands.
I hear you, but I mean, they also have these body suits and they have stuff. So, I mean.
Yes, obviously, but it's completely different. I mean, you're out there for a long drive.
No, dude, trust me. I was just in the cold weather. Dude, the cold weather is brutal, but yeah, I mean. New England, December is pretty cold too, I would argue.
Mm-hmm. And you know, at the end of the day, it's also going to be cold for the Patriots, not just the Bills. So,
no, I know.
No, but we know the cold weather favors the Patriots substantially with the run game they have and the lack 100%. Of the passing game.
I just don't see another game playing out the way that last game played out. I just think that's really unrealistic.
No, the last game was the game that Josh Allen lit them up. You mean the first time? I don't think it's going to be like
the last cold weather game, like the last crazy weather.
Like, you got to understand that Josh Allen's not going to do what he did last time and throw four touchdowns against his defense. There's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying I don't – if the running game can't step up, which I don't think they will versus the Patriots like they have versus the Falcons and Jets, I think we could be seeing a slow game for the Bills.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow, low-scoring, sloppy game. That's my thought.
I think we can all agree on that, but we'll agree to disagree on the outcome.
Buffalo, of course, couldn't capitalize last game in the bad weather. They could not. They went for it on a few fourth downs. They failed. They couldn't kick field goal. They played like shit.
I mean, we'll be tying
our. So you guys are both going New England?
Yes, we're both official picks.
Okay, so this is where I pull ahead right here.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to one of the more clear-cut games of the weekend, in my opinion. We got the 1 p.m. on Sunday game, Eagles-Bucks. They already played once this season in Philly, and the Bucks won in a pretty narrow game. The Bucks are a little bit shorthanded, as we all know. AB, we know what happened with him. Godwin's out. Evans is a little banged up, but I think it's pretty clear who's going to win here. I mean, you never bet against Brady in the playoffs, and like the Eagles, I've talked about them before on here. I'm not impressed with what they've really been doing. I think Jalen Hurts has been wildly inconsistent. And I mean, listen, I saw some of the throws he's made this year versus, you know, the Bucks defense. They're going to make him pay. And, you know, the Bucks, they're going to be able to, they'll be able to run the ball. They'll be able to get their weapons involved. They still have Gronk. Like, they'll be fine. I'm not too worried about this game. They're at home. They've had great games at home this year offensively outside of that Saints game, averaging way over 30 points. So I have the Buccaneers here pretty easily.
Yeah, so I'll be the Eagles optimist on here. Not picking them, but it's a playoff football. I think people just lose sight so much of it's one game. That's why I really think the NFL playoffs are so fun, because you guys act like the Buccaneers are just like they can't lose this game. It just can't happen. It's impossible. The Eagles have a shot. Whether you like it or not, the last game these two teams played, it was a one-score game. I mean, I think Philly scored a touchdown at the end to make it a one-score game, if I'm correct. They did. But that was with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, so there was still time. It wasn't a garbage time touchdown. It was a six-point game. Now, do I think the Bucs are going to win? Yes. But they're without, you know, some key weapons. Godwin obviously being gone. AB being gone, who AB was a crucial factor in that first Philly game. He went off like 100 yards, a touchdown, all that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm giving Philly a shot. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, Tom Brady, you can't bet against the man. Philly hasn't beaten a winning team, a playoff team this year, which is more reason to go Bucks. But I'm not calling it a 100%er. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'll take the flip side and call it a 100%er, though, because
it's playoff football. Stop. It's playoff football. Don't do that.
Like, you fools didn't learn last year. You never bet against Tom Brady.
Did I not pick the Bucks?
Whoa. I think I went like 6-8 or whatever in last year's playoffs. I'm pretty sure half my
No. He picked the Bucks every time. He picked the Bucks every time.
You lost everything else. Okay, fine. That's
I literally think I lost every game besides the Bucks game.
I picked the Saints. I picked the Saints versus the Bucks. And the Packers. I picked the Bucks versus the Packers. My bad.
I'm taking the Bucks here. I do think they'll come out a little bit rusty because, you know, Fournette's just coming back off IR. They're getting Gio Bernard back. Evans is still a little banged up. I think they'll come out a little bit rusty, but they'll get it going. Gronk and Brady, the connection has been really, really good the last couple of weeks, and I think that's going to be a big factor in this game. The Eagles really struggle to cover tight ends. I think Gronk's going to have a pretty easy night. But, you know, I don't think the Bucks will play their best football. Their defense has struggled a little bit lately, too. Did a decent job against Darnold. I think the three of us could. But against the Jets the week before, Zach Wilson ripped them apart with Braxton Berrios. So, you know, they're pretty vulnerable. I don't know what Philly's going to come out with. Philly's going to have to win this game with, you know, winning the turnover battle, first of all, playing
turnover
good on
battle, 100%.
A couple of trick plays because they don't really have an explosive offense in the passing game. It's going to be tough. But
I don't think trick plays. I think you're right. It's just turnovers. Like, they're going to have to get some like turnovers, flip field position fast.
Special.
That's the way to go. Go for a fourth down, be aggressive.
Philly needs everything to go their way in order to win this game. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Look, the Eagles, after all, have like a 22. They're only 8.5-point underdogs. It's not some crazy one-sided, lopsided game.
But when you put the game in Jalen Hurts' hands, he's not going to win it. So
yeah, and that's why I said turnovers early on can get the lead off. If they can get a 10-0 lead at the end of the first quarter, like, that's the recipe. They need a turnover right away. First drive of the game, Brady needs to throw a pick. Someone needs to fumble.
Down the field right away, maybe. But you need trick plays because this is a team long methodical drives, and then God forbid they get in a third down or something like that, they make a mistake and that's it. They can't make
mistakes. Jalen Hurts has been Philly's been one of the better teams at not getting in third and longs this year. Just because Jalen Hurts has
a great rushing
checkdowns.
Team.
Yeah. Then the Eagles, I saw a stat that the Eagles barely get in third and long. Like, they're like one of the best teams at not getting the third and longs. I don't know how to track that, but I guess it's some stat that I saw on Twitter. Some guy posted it.
Probably check their average on third down distance, you know, like four and a half, five.
So the Eagles don't get in third down and long very often.
There's probably very little. I mean, it makes sense. If they're the best rushing team in the NFL, what they should do most of the time is just run the ball first and second down.
And Jalen Hurts has had a lot of completions. Like, not to knock Jalen Hurts, but I mean, it's the truth. You look at a lot of his completions, they have been, you know, under 10 yards inside the markers, inside the hashes. Like, Mm-hmm. So that's their game. And if they're doing it successfully, like, I think they have a shot. They have a shot. But anyways,
I don't really see them winning this game though.
Anyways, let's move on to personally, I think the best game, just because of the weather in the Patriots Bills game is going to be bad. I think this will be the best game we see on Wildcard Weekend, the 49ers and Cowboys. So 49ers make the playoffs with, you know, obviously a crazy win versus the Rams in their regular season finale. The Cowboys, as for them, their offense is getting hot at the right time after, you know, kind of that stretch where they, like, versus the Giants, where they scored 21 points versus, like, you know, Washington the first time they played. And then, you know, they picked it up versus Washington the second time they played versus Philly the second time they played. So they're looking good. Dak had like 5 touchdown passes. You know, granted, it was versus the Eagles, like, third string guys, but still, it happened. For San Francisco, I think this is a great matchup for them. Like, San Francisco is playing a brand of football that I think is going to translate really well to the playoffs. Great run game. The defense is playing very well right now. And, you know, Jimmy G, look, obviously he had a iffy game on Sunday versus the Rams, but you have to give him credit. I mean, his fingers, like, his thumb's, like, broken, and he's playing. I mean, so he played good given the situation. So with that being said, I think that the Niners will slow down that Cowboys offense, because I'm still iffy on that Cowboys offense. Like, Amari Cooper hasn't, like, it just feels like they should be better than what they are. And like I said, they scored 50 points twice in the last couple of weeks, but that was versus the Washington football team and Eagles. I mean, so it's not like it's anything crazy with the Eagles' third string defense, actually, not even their starters. So I'm going 49ers here.
Yeah, same. I think the 49ers are actually going to make a run this playoffs. The way that they've been playing the last couple of weeks has been pretty solid, been pretty convincing. And I think you can see how Jimmy Garoppolo is better for this team at this point than Trey Lance as well. But Deebo Samuel, you could argue, is the best offensive player in the NFL right now. And I think that wouldn't even be crazy.
I don't think he's the best. Quarterback is the best offensive player. I'm sorry.
He
just
No, that, I get what he's saying. Like, offensive weapon, though. That's what he's saying.
Offensive weapon? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and then Elijah Mitchell is finally healthy now. But I think the big thing is Trent Williams being in here. He didn't play last week against the Rams, and they still won. But I think you're really going to need Trent Williams this week against Dallas, because with Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Micah Parsons coming back after a week off, you need your best left tackle, probably the best left tackle in the NFL in there. But I'm going to take San Francisco. Dallas always seems to find a way to shoot themselves in the foot and get in their own way in the playoffs. And, you know, you could say it's a new team or whatever, this, this, and that, but I'm going to take San Francisco. And you know what? They won the turnover battle against the Rams as well. You know,
and they're 8-2 in the last 10 games. The Niners are getting hot at the right time, beating very good teams. Yeah,
I like San Francisco. That's why I said I really think they can make a run. And you know what? If they play the Packers next week, why couldn't they beat them? Why couldn't this be the team to beat them? You know what I mean?
The scariest, like, wildcard team. Yeah.
I really do think that this team can make a run. And you know what? To start that run, they got to go into Dallas and beat them. And I think they will. So I'm picking San Francisco. And by the way, their fans travel really well as well. So
Dallas fans are top-notch, though.
But, you know, Dallas's fans travel well, too. So that's not necessarily something I'd keep an eye on. But, yeah, I absolutely love the Niners. As you talked about, like, they've had a pretty tough schedule recently, and they've won a lot of their games. The only loss I can remember in the last month was at Tennessee, and obviously that's the number one seed in the AFC. So they played them tight. They beat the Rams, obviously. I got to lean with the Niners here, too. I love Deebo Samuel, and I think this team can keep up with Dallas. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, obviously, but at the end of the day, I think the Niners' defense has a slight edge over the Cowboys. They just got to be smart and not turn the ball over. You know, we've talked about this a lot. The Cowboys' defense loves forcing turnovers. So, I think Jimmy G
could be an issue, honestly.
Jimmy G could be the guy for that, though, because he's never really going to be a guy to look to push the ball. So if they could just keep him, you know, settled, you know, keep him in a clean pocket. When you have the best left tackle in football, obviously that's much easier to do. So,
That's the one thing that's really concerning, is the Dallas defense is very good in the turnover battle, and Jimmy G likes to turn the ball over sometimes. So, you know, that's where it could go south really fast, because if he does turn the ball over and they capitalize on those mistakes, we'll be in trouble picking San Francisco, I think. And I think that's pretty fair to say. But I really do think, once again, I said this about a few games before, I think this game's going to go down the wire as well. I really do. I think this will be one of the best games of the weekend. And I think that we're really in for a treat this whole weekend, probably besides this next game.
What have been besides this next game? I mean, but
Next game is the Steelers and Chiefs. They met in week 16. Kansas City blew them out of the water at home. This will also be on Sunday Night Football, by the way. And then Big Ben actually came out this week at a press conference and said, "We have no chance, so let's just go out and play and have fun."
I was sarcastic, dude. Come on.
You can believe what you want to believe.
What do they say? Every bit of humor has a bit of truth to it or something like that.
But you know what the whole thing about it is that like you could, he's smiling when he's saying it. And like, why would a quarterback just like come out and say, like, he's using it as motivation for the team and like, just kind of like maybe trying to make the Chiefs like fall asleep a little bit. Maybe make the Chiefs think that like, they don't have to prepare or, you know, go as hard in practice this week and maybe, you know, catch him off guard. I don't know. I mean, I just think that that really means nothing to this game. Like, who cares if Big Ben said that? It doesn't matter.
No, I'm sure he's just aware of the narrative. You know, he's aware of the narrative.
Yeah, I think he was just aware of what people are saying. Like, he's just repeating what the media is saying about the Steelers.
And he's kind of right, though. How is Pittsburgh going to win this game? They're a good football team at home. They don't score points. When's the last time they scored 20 or more points? A Vikings game on Thursday Night Football? Their offense Their offensive line sucks.
Yeah, this game's very lopsided. Like the Eagles game, you guys said that was lopsided. This might be an 100%.
The only way somehow that they'd be able to win this game is if like TJ Watt gets a few strip sacks early on and that's it. Like,
no, you need a defensive touchdown. That's so yeah, a strip sack touchdown.
I really don't see it.
You can't bank on a defensive touchdown.
I don't see it.
No, so you need what the Browns did last year to you. Were right away off the first play of the game is a strip sack touchdown like the Browns.
Yeah, but it was so much more than that. The Browns dominated them the whole first half. I mean, like, how many rushing yards do they have in that first half?
Yeah, but you don't need to beat them by 25 like the Browns did. Just beat them by 3 points.
But you know what's
I think you do need to get up by 25.
Yeah,
though,
you need to get big probably, yeah.
You know what is encouraging for Pittsburgh, though, is they did run the ball really well towards the final stretch of the season. And Kansas City in their last game was pretty vulnerable against the run against Denver. So – you know, maybe they do take a lead early on and they could run the ball and run some clock and keep Mahomes on the sideline. You know, you never know. You never know. It's a playoffs. And that's why they play the games any given Sunday. So
I'm excited. This reminds me of
Kansas City.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of the Bears Saints game last year. Where like we kind of knew the Bears were done for it. Right.
The Bears kind of kept it like a little close.
What did they win by 10?
I think.
But no, because the touchdown at the end of Jimmy Graham made it a 10-point game. They won by like 17.
I guess.
It was 20-3.
That would have been a game too if that guy whims. They ran that trick play. They had him wide open.
Isn't it Whims?
Yeah, it was Whims.
Isn't it Mims?
No, Mims is on the Jets.
No, it was Javon Wims.
I got it wrong. Wims.
Yeah, right through his hands.
Oh, because it was the guy who punched Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That was the whole fight. Yeah. That was him. Is he still on the team?
It went right through his hands. So, yeah. If he catches that pass, it's a game. You know, that's why I said, like, when you play against teams like that and you're a big underdog, you need to have, like, Philly, same thing as the Steelers. They're in the same boat. You need to have a perfect game. You need to have every single thing go your way. You need to get some trick plays. You need some special teams plays. You need some turnovers. You need a lot to go your way.
You know what? Juju's practicing this week. He practices.
Yeah, I saw that.
He might come back. That's interesting. That would be interesting if he came back for this game.
I don't know. I mean, Juju was pretty productive when he was playing early in the season, but he got hurt pretty early on.
They've been lacking that weapon out of the slot, though.
I think he'll play because, remember, he's on a one-year deal, so like he might just want to play one more time with Big Ben, one more time in Pittsburgh. He might be gone from Pittsburgh with the way Deontay Johnson's playing. Like, Chase Claypool's there. You don't want to pay that many guys. You're thinking that Juju might be out the door with the Steelers. I think he'll play this week.
Mm-hmm.
He'll want to play desperately, at least.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the last game of the weekend. I believe this is the Monday night game. The Cardinals and the Rams. These are two teams that I kind of have low expectations for going to the playoffs, especially the Cardinals, because what are they, 1-4 in their last five? They've just been really bad, very underwhelming since their hot start. And then the Rams, I don't know, they've been winning a lot of games, but Matt Stafford's been pretty unimpressive. With all that being said, I have the Rams winning this game. They're just so talented everywhere. They're at home. I think that's a big deal. You know, they got the pass rush, Aaron Donald. Von Miller's been heating up a little bit the last few weeks. Then offensively, you know, if Matt Stafford could just take care of the football and not throw three interceptions, and bad interceptions, by the way. He's been throwing bad interceptions. If he could just take care of the football a little bit. You know, they got Cam Akers back now, but, you know, got to get the ball in Cooper Kupp's hands. He's your best player. You know, Odell's been looking good. I don't really see the Cardinals winning this game. They've just been so cold as of late.
Oh, dude. I don't know about that, though. because Matthew Stafford has been playing really bad, in my opinion. Like, yeah, say what you want about
really
you know,
bad.
Like, say what you want about, you know, like the way he started the season. Like, obviously throwing like what 30 touchdowns, like the first 11 games or whatever. Like, he was playing well. I mean, I guess his stats still look decent overall, but he finished the season really out of the Ravens game, 2 picks, 49ers game, like another what 2 picks, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win
7 picks in the last 3 games.
Yeah. You're not going to win by just playing that brand of football. Even if OBJ is going off for 100, like OBJ has been very productive, but there's still been like, you know, barely surviving the Ravens without like all their players pretty much. And the 49ers, you lose to them. Like, I don't know, man, I'm picking the Cardinals. And
wow.
Even though they've been kind of cold, they had the Cowboys win, which really convinced me kind of back on track. I was like, okay, like that's huge. You get J.J. Watt back. You know, J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones looked very
scary.
There's
no guarantee that Watt's going to be back yet.
Rap Sheet said it's basically happening.
How effective is he going to be? His shoulders.
Yeah, shit. Like he's been out the whole
I mean, week. I don't know. I think if he's going to play, I think they're going to have him ready to go. I don't think they're going to put him out there 50% at that age. Why would you risk? I think he'll be as close to 100% as you could possibly be after an injury. I think he'll be ready to go. And then, like, you don't have DeAndre Hopkins, of course, but you don't really need DeAndre Hopkins. You just need Chase Edmonds, you know, that running attack with him and James Conner. Christian Kirk's been playing well. AJ Green. Like, I think they could do it if Kyler just doesn't – if Kyler just plays, like, the 1 week's one through – I think I'm picking the Cardinals here. It's close,
though. Yeah, I'm not. I'm picking the Rams. Aaron Donald wrecked this game last time. I kind of expect him to do the same. You said something about Von Miller heating up. He has been, and I think the Rams pass rush will just dominate really at the line of scrimmage against the Cardinals. Big thing though is Rodney Hudson didn't play the last game, and him being in there helps a little bit. But you know, the Rams at home, I do think this will be a close game though. I really do. But they got to establish the run, and they couldn't do that last week against the 49ers, and they put the game in Stafford's hands and he kind of lost it for them. I think it's fair to say that. Turn the ball over so much. But got to establish a run with Michelle and Akers. They have to. They will not make a run or go anywhere in this playoffs if they can't. I've said this 1,000 times about the Rams this year, and I will keep saying it. If they can't establish the run and be physical at the line of scrimmage, they will lose the game. The pass rush will get after them, and they will lose the game. The good thing is the Cardinals aren't great against the run. So if you can establish the run, the game will be easier for Stafford, and you can have a nice game.
Some damage so last week.
That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting Michelle to have a pretty nice game against them. Stafford, I don't think we'll turn the ball over as much because they'll dominate the line of scrimmage, and I'm going with the Rams.
You know what encourages me, though, about the Cardinals? Even though they lost last week to the Seahawks, like, they put up points. And I really question if the Rams could do the same. Like, with the amount of picks Stafford's throwing, I think it's a lock he throws at least one. And you heard his wife, he's going in a silent count at home. There will be more Cardinals fans there than Rams fans. That probably will happen.
That's a shame.
I just think that place will be a home. Like, come on. Every team besides the Jaguars and Lions has traveled and outweighed the Rams fans this year.
Yeah.
The Lions, Jaguars, but they have nothing to play for. Why would a Lions or Jaguar fan go out to LA to watch them? I mean, they have nothing really going for them this season, at least. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Cardinals fans will be there, and that'll be it. I mean, they'll score more, and they'll win. They'll score more. But that's going to be it for, I guess, the NFL pick'em. Real quick, I guess, wrapping up our picks, right, let's just kind of go over who we picked, let the audience know. I mean, obviously, if you've been watching, you know, but, I mean, just one more time. So we pretty much have the same picks for like 4 games, right? Like
I think we all have the Bengals over the Raiders. We all have the Bucks over the Eagles. We all have the Niners over the Cowboys, which I think might be the big one. And we all have the Chiefs over the Steelers.
So there's a couple differences. I think
I picked the Bills and you both picked the Pats. And
I
picked
the Cardinals and you guys
picked the Rams. And then me and Frank picked the Rams. Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be.
So the standings really wouldn't move like two drafts.
Yeah. I'll be 6-0 and you guys will be like 4-2, 5-1. You know.
Well, I'll be 5-1, Graf, I think, because I'll be 4-2. I'll be 4-2, and then Frank will be 5-1 if that were to happen.
If we're basing it off consensus, I'll be 6-0, and then you guys will have deferring records. But
we'll be 5-1, right? If that happens. I mean, I'll take that. That's not too bad.
The good thing is we all don't have the same picks for all the games, because it certainly just makes it more interesting, which is nice.
Oh, Frank loves picking the basic picks. He makes the most
the wild card weekend games are usually more lopsided. Like when you get to the divisional round, you know, the teams are more competitive. So I think we'll see more differing picks when we get there.
Oh, no, for sure. All right, so let's talk some NBA now, because some big trade went down today in the NBA. Cam Reddish was traded to the New York Knicks, our New York Knicks, at least me and Frank's New York Knicks. We said a 2022 first round pick via the Hornets, which was obviously the one we got for trading back with them in the 2021 draft. And we give up Kevin Knox, who has really not showed any flashes in the last four seasons. He had that one game versus the Bucks where he had 18 points, but since then has been had COVID and then out of the rotation again. So he doesn't play for us, not really a big loss at all. I mean, and then we get Cam Reddish, who, look, obviously, I think is a little bit of an overrated shooter. His splits aren't really the best. I think part of that could be just him not getting rhythm with the Hawks, you know, his role being inconsistent. So I think just having a consistent role with the Knicks should help, at least, especially with Derrick Rose being out for the next couple weeks. So, yeah, I love this move just for the Knicks, because essentially it's a risk-free move. I mean, you look at what we could have potentially used that pick for. Nothing. I mean, who are we going to trade? There's no star available in the market that we're using that pick to pile up with more assets to trade for that said star. So I like giving up the pick. I like not having that pick anymore. I like getting a promising young player instead who has averaged like 13 points a game this year, but or I think it's 11, actually. It's 11. But you know, when he plays like 30 minutes a night, he does average like 16, 17 a game. So when he's in a consistent role, a starting minutes, he plays really well, shoots a three ball at a really good rate. I mean, he's a good 3-point shooter. I don't think his percentage is that high though, but I think
it's actually 38. It's higher than I thought too.
It's 38, but I think he has the tools to be even a better shooter. I agree. I think his, you know, numbers are kind of misleading there. And it's tough though. Actually, I was talking about this today with a bunch of, you know, my Knicks friends, my friends that were both all Knicks fans. And we kind of were talking about how the role he's going to get, because
start over Fournier.
Fournier, I don't know if he's going to start over Fournier. It's a question mark.
Good. He's a better shooter and a better defender. What else do you need?
I think that's the defending is very key. The defending would be very key, but Fournier offensively, guys. I mean, Frank, you saw you wanted to deny me about his playmaking skills. You saw yesterday to Mitch Robb, he was feeding, he was driving to the cup.
That was RJ, bro. That was RJ.
Did Evan Fournier not do it twice to Mitch? Fournier, dude, if you watch Fournier, I watch every Knicks game. He can playmake and he can create for himself. He creates for himself. Come on, know that.
He can't do it consistently though, Ben.
Cam Reddish can create for himself.
No, I get that. So I'm talking about him over Bullock. He wipes Reggie Bullock. And I don't want to hear
not
you.
Not for the money. Not for the money though. That's what I was that's the 100% concern that I have. You said the role. Where does he fit in this team? We're missing Walker right now and D Rose. So
Walker's coming back Saturday. He was questionable versus the Mavericks.
Okay, but like once again, he's better than Kemba Walker too.
Okay, I think it should be Kemba and Cam.
To be honest with you, I think he's going to get Grimes' minutes off the bench.
That's right. That's what I said.
Not the third best player on this team already.
I don't know about the third best player. He's not better than RJ.
No, RJ and Julius Randle.
I think he's certainly third or fourth already.
I don't see why he wouldn't be.
And Randle, yes.
It's hard to bring Fournier off the bench. But.
Like D-Rose when healthy, is he better than D-Rose? I don't know.
The Knicks wouldn't have traded for him if they don't have a plan and they don't plan to play him. That's all I'm saying. So
yeah,
he
definitely.
Will play. He's going to play 25 minutes a night at least, I think. That's my thought. I think he's going to be like quickly. I think he's going to come off the bench. I think he's going to play a lot more minutes than starters.
That's bad though. So right now, this is the problem. He's going to have to take Grimes' role for now, I think, which we both
said.
No,
but he'll play more extended. Instead of giving guys like Burks and extra, like Reddish will take minutes away from every single guy on the bench.
Yeah, he's better than all these guys. That's the thing. He's talented.
Burks is really like that too. Burks is like that. But Reddish might be better.
I think they can play some small ball lineups, maybe with him at the four too. I think they could get by with that. I really do think he's a really gifted defender, and he's very long.
He's a very good defender, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I watched him that week after Christmas. The whole Hawks team had COVID. He played like 40 minutes versus the Bulls in back-to-back games. I mean, he is so talented. And he had a game right before that versus the Magic where he dropped like almost 40. He's so talented. He can get his own shot. He can get to his space on the floor. Obviously, he's not too consistent yet, but he's only in his third year, and he hasn't really been given consistent minutes, and he has all the tools defensively to be elite. I mean, he is such a talented player. And we talked about this with the Hawks, like almost ad nauseum at this point. Like, what are they doing? Like,
what are they doing?
Like, oh my God. Like, can we just talk about this from the Hawks perspective? Because the Knicks won this trade. I don't even care. I'm pretty sure the pick that the Knicks gave is like lottery protected.
It's top 18 protected.
Like, so that's pathetic. Like, Atlanta, what are you doing? Cam Reddish is so good.
He's our third best player, not second.
He might be. He's right up there with John Collins. Better than Cam Reddish. I really do think he's closer to John Collins. But John Collins plays 36 minutes a night. John Collins could score points and get rebounds and compile.
I'm still giving it to John Collins. He's a great shooter and a great finisher. I think
Cam Reddish has the two most valuable traits for a non-star in basketball. He's an elite defender and elite shooter. And that can't be matched.
Let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies and our postseason expectations for them. They're on a 10-game winning streak, and I'm pretty sure they've beaten like some impressive teams during this win streak. It's not just like a Mickey Mouse one like the Suns had earlier on in the season. They're currently the 3 seed in the Western Conference. Ja Morant's playing, you know, really well. People were saying stuff earlier. Remember, oh, we're winning more without Ja Morant, and then he comes back, and you know, now they're on this big win streak. But what do you guys think? Like, what are your postseason expectations? Because to me, they're still a first-round exit.
It's all situational. It's all who are they going to play? And right now they would play the Nuggets in the first round. You know, is that a first round exit? I don't think so. I think they're a better all around. Based on what?
With Jamal Murray, the Nuggets are a better. Bro, what do you mean? You're discounting the Grizzlies so much, though. I'm not.
Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane might be the most improved player.
I'm a fan of Dylan Brooks. I think Jaren Jackson was overrated. I think he's overrated, Jaren Jackson.
I just think they have a lot of really solid players that a lot of people don't know about and don't care about. Like Desmond Bane has been legitimately tremendous for them.
They're 1-3 is good. Ja Morant, like, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane.
All the guys I just said are legitimately better than Aaron Gordon. They're legitimately – like Desmond Bane this season is averaging like 18. Like how much better is Jamal Murray? Serious question. I mean,
oh come on, Jamal Murray averaged 30 points a game in the playoffs.
Nobody knows who Desmond Bane is, so he's not good.
And you know Jamal Murray's traits are better. Like you know Jamal Murray's a better shot creator. Like he much better shot.
I don't know, man. Desmond Bane has been getting his own shot.
Come on, Jamal Murray. You know he does. I know that, but I'm saying he's like Jamal Murray's still a step ahead. I think. Multiple steps ahead. I mean,
he's better, but the step isn't that much that it overcomes the fact that the Grizzlies are legitimately so
can
so
Desmond
much
Bane be the else. Number one option on the Nuggets averaging 30 points a game in the playoffs? He wouldn't be able to do that.
Jamal Murray's Murray so was never underrated. The number one option. He was scoring more points, but let's be honest, that whole team, like that team is Jokic. It runs through Jokic.
Yes.
And that was in the bubble, bro. He's a bubble.
Yeah.
We don't acknowledge the bubble. We're just going to discount anything that happens in the bubble. I mean, you saw
his numbers drop back down to earth after that. And he was struggling before
he had a 50-point game versus the Cavs. Like, no, his numbers last year, regular season numbers were better than any regular season numbers he put up in his past years. You look at last season. 21 points a game, 48% from the field. I mean, and then what? 41 from three. That was better than his 2020 regular season averaging 18 points a game. He averaged 21 regular. He had a great regular season until he got hurt.
Okay, once again, we're just assuming Jamal Murray is going to come back and just instantly be as good as he ever was. And at the end of the day, listen, Jokic, tremendous player, top five in the league.
Jeff, here we go again with your injury takes about everyone coming back way worse. They'll come back the
same. No, I'm not saying they're going to come back way worse, but you think everybody's going to come back and instantly be as good as they ever were?
I agree. I mean, I think Klay Thompson's already going to be – he's close to being that guy again. I mean, you saw his bounce is ridiculous still. He could shoot that ball. Come on, you know it. He's going to be back soon.
He shot
soon.
like 7 of 19? Like, good guy.
7 of 18. But look, he's close to the first game back.
All right, listen. We're getting off track. We're talking about the Grizzlies here. Listen, Jokic is ridiculous. He's going to burn any team that he plays. There's no denying that. But if there is a team that kind of has the tools to slow him down a little bit, I think it's the Grizzlies. You know, you have Jaren Jackson, you have Steven Adams, two very, very good defensive bigs who are kind of different. Steven Adams is more of an enforcer, whereas Jaren Jackson's a little bit more lengthy and, you know, versatile. I think they would win that series. You know, another team that they might end up getting matched up against is the Lakers. Clippers, maybe. Like, I think those would all be really interesting series.
With Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, that would not be a series.
Oh, really? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard is a lock for any playoff series?
No, it's not. Listen, Kawhi, though, is probably more of a lock than PG is, according to like what we're hearing. people said Kawhi's making an earlier return, or is going to make an earlier return than expected.
Having a healthy PG and Kawhi does not guarantee you a playoff win.
And it showed you last year in the playoffs. You went to 7 games with the Mavs just with Luka, and he cooked you every single night for 35-7.
Who is the player who's responsible for the Clippers getting their first ever conference finals ever? It's Terrence Mann, bro. I mean, how is he the guy who had to step up in game 6 versus Utah? How did that happen?
I mean, because like, Kawhi was literally not playing in that game.
Where was Paul George?
Did you not? Paul George had 41 points in game 5.
Not in game 6. The closeout game, it was Terrence
Mann. He won the game for them in Utah, the tough, hostile environment, and got the W for them to set up Terrence Mann for the game 6.
Listen, all I'm saying is we have a 2-year sample size of Kawhi and PG, and it is not good results
so
far. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Kawhi stays healthy, they make the finals. And they might win the finals.
I don't know.
They beat the Suns.
But see, here's the thing. But when I say that about the Warriors, like KD and Klay getting hurt, you're like, oh, that doesn't count. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's just hard to play
what
if game.
I mean,
the Raptors didn't really, not that they didn't deserve that title, but they got kind of lucked out. You get kind of mad about that.
No,
and I just feel like,
I don't know. I mean,
hard to play the what if
fine.
Game.
But you know, the Clippers were better than Phoenix. Come on. You know, they were like deep down.
And you know Golden State was better than everybody.
I know that they were better than everyone, but the Raptors still won the championship. But I guess it goes with the Suns too. Okay, fine. The Suns won the game. Fair.
My whole point here is the Grizzlies would compete with a lot of these teams. I think they'd make an interesting series with the Jazz, Dallas, Dallas.
I think Utah's still a step ahead.
I don't know. I mean,
I really do hate to be this like Debbie Downer, because I think with young teams, I like to praise young teams generally. I like to praise teams on the rise. I like to praise guys like Dylan Brooks last year in the playoffs, who was fantastic. Even the regular season was fantastic. Desmond Bane this year, really good. John Morant. But the reality is the West. The Suns and Warriors are better, just clearly. They would be.
Yeah, but they're not going to play those teams in the first round. You ask me how far can they go?
I'm listing
the teams they'd play in the first round.
They're the 6th best team in the West, in my opinion. And that's being better than the Lakers. I have the Suns, the Warriors, the Jazz, the Nuggets, and Clippers. I think the Nuggets and Clippers, if they get those two healthy, if they get Jamal Murray and they get
Kawhi
Leonard
back. Clippers, but I don't agree with the Nuggets. Maybe I'm just really low on the Nuggets. I don't know.
I mean, you were the one that said the Nuggets were just so bad. I mean, didn't you say the Jazz were like way better than the Nuggets last year? I mean, I guess that was whatever. It aged.
I think they are. I mean, I think they've continued.
But Jamal Murray, if he's there, I mean, like, I don't understand where this whole slander came from. Jamal Murray literally last season averaged 21,
not slander. It's just that
40.
I'm just letting you. All I'm saying is the Nuggets and the Jazz both have one superstar, and I give the Nuggets the edge there. And then I think the second option, I don't really know how much better Jamal Murray is than all the guys the Grizzlies have. And then the depth of the Grizzlies is so much better. I think defensively, the Grizzlies have so many more tools.
The Grizzlies have way more depth, but like the Nuggets defensively are not a bad team. Actually, a good defensive team. And
no,
like,
they're pretty good.
If you get Jamal Murray, Jokic, those two scores are just high powered enough to, I think, push you over in a series. I think they could score enough points to win games. And
I think that'd go to 7 games though. I think mm-hmm. Memphis could take pretty much anyone to 7 games besides the Warriors and the Suns. But the problem is the playoff experience for me. And you could say, oh, that shit doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Whatever. If you don't believe shit like that matters, then you wouldn't believe that Brady and Belichick would win in the playoffs.
Oh, no, I think NBA and NFL are different though. Honestly, I'll say that though.
I
also think rising to the occasion, I don't know.
Frank loves to do his NFL and NBA comparisons, but you have to realize NBA talent matters way more than like scheming and mindset, I think.
But experience means something, bro.
It means something.
Why do you think all these great teams have all these vets too? Like it matters.
So the Suns last year, you could argue that Devin Booker had no experience, but why did he not just average like 28 a game? And they
Trae Young,
Trae Young, the Hawks, no experience. They make the conference finals.
Okay, but who did the Hawks play? They played the Knicks, who had no experience, and the Sixers, who had relatively little experience.
The Sixers had a lot of experience with them.
Like a lot of like first and second round experience.
Okay, but that was multiple years of experience. I mean, that's probably one of the more experienced.
We're looking at a series where it took an epic Ben Simmons meltdown for the Hawks to win that series. Something we've never seen before.
You're just saying any scenario where it happens with
no, I'm not discrediting it, but I'm
the Hawks are proven to be frauds in just a one-time playoff. Look how bad they are now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just because you have more experience, that isn't a lock for you to win. Otherwise, every team would just sign like Udonis Haslam.
But even look at the Bucks. I know the Bucks made conference finals, but the Miami Heat in the first round, were they not the more experienced, quote unquote, the veteran team?
No, but you're missing my point. like experience means something, but it's not everything. And like, I know you guys disagreed with this take at the time, but the Bucks are so much better than the Heat. And it shows in that playoff series.
But I'm saying that experience, like, look, if we're just going to discredit or just like, just not count the Hawks run, the Sun, Devin Booker playing well, all these first time players in the playoffs, all these young guys, they come into the playoffs and they ball out right away. Donovan Mitchell as a rookie beats the Thunder, beats Paul George, beats Carmelo Anthony, beats Russell Westbrook.
Do they win championships?
Okay, but Frank, you have to realize they're not on championship caliber teams. The way NBA works is these super teams like the Lakers or like the three all-star teams, the Nets win it. Even the Bucks, they have three all-stars. Like the teams with multiple all-stars win. You saw Donovan Mitchell as a rookie beats Carmelo, 10 all-star appearances, all this playoff history.
Yes, Paul George, you're missing my point yet again, though. These teams, like the Jazz were better than the Thunder. Like that was the worst big three ever.
That's what I'm saying. So talent beats experience.
Everything. But experience does mean something. There's no doubt having somebody.
Name me a time where a team was more experienced but less talented, and that's the reason why they won. You can't. You just can't. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
No, I'm telling you,
experience doesn't matter.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all. Like, but talent matters like 95%. I think talent, the better team, the guys who can score better, like, who guys who can create better, guys who are more skilled. Look at the Hawks. I mean, the Hawks were just a skilled team. It was skill versus like will, I guess, the Knicks-Hawks series. And the Knicks got completely shit on. I mean, we got destroyed.
Well, because the Hawks had the best player in that series by far. I mean, that's
exactly. The Knicks were the team that was like the grinders. Like, we don't sleep. We hear. And like, we did nothing. I mean, those teams don't do good.
We sold.
Whatever.
We sold.
And like, even look at a team like last year, let's take the Warriors in the play-in tournament, like versus the Grizzlies. Perfect. Grizzlies last year, a young team, John Morant, all these guys, they go into Golden State, beat Steph Curry, Draymond, these pedigree champions. It doesn't matter. Talent wins. The Grizzlies were the better team than the Warriors, and I'm taking them. That's why they won. I don't know. That's the best.
Were you taking in what? The Grizzlies? I'm taking the Grizzlies too. I'm glad we can agree on that.
No. I'm saying from last year in the Grizzlies over the Warriors in the play-in tournament. What I'm saying this year is that the Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, Suns, Jazz, they're all better. They're all better. I just. And then the Lakers, I don't think they're better. I think the Grizzlies would beat the Lakers. I agree.
The Grizzlies would kick the Lakers' ass.
We will see come playoff time.
To be honest, so I don't know. Just because, like, to be like, I know we all like say like the Lakers lost last year, but they were up 2-1. So if they're healthy, like you can't just count them out totally. Like right, you can't just say they're done. Like they're.
I do think something needs to change, and I don't think they'll currently win with the three.
Yeah, I agree. This actually seems like a problem, not injury related.
I legitimately think in order to win, they need to move on from Westbrook or Anthony Davis.
We said this in the me and Frank said this in the preseason. No shit, Russell Westbrook isn't going to work. Oh my God.
Okay, so
when has Russell Westbrook ever contributed to
the winning basketball? Russell Westbrook would work. I had the Lakers as the championship.
I don't know.
Terrible.
I was extremely critical of the move, like extremely critical.
You know, I wasn't critical. I liked the State more
at the time. And I said I liked the Bucks more and the Nets more. I didn't say I liked the Bulls more, but now I like the Bulls
and
more.
And
I said this
before the regular season too. Russell Westbrook makes how many teams in the NBA better right now? Two?
Very few.
I don't even think any, honestly. But just
literally
because
like, just negative.
Put Russell Westbrook on the Bucks instead of Jrue Holiday. Is Russell Westbrook a better player? Maybe. The Bucks are way worse with Russell Westbrook, though.
So even the Pistons, like, you could say all you want, but if they take Cade Cunningham and get his minutes reduced, I mean, I don't know. It just, I guess they would win more games.
Yeah, you win more games.
You know, you would win more games. I'm not going
to Wow. You go from the 14th seed to the 11th seed. Wow. Yeah.
No, the 10th seed and make the play-in tournament, and then you win
the
game. Yeah, no, I hear you guys, but I guess I was at fault for having, like, some faith in Russell Westbrook. I didn't say it was a good fit. I had them winning the championship, though, just because I thought LeBron and AD would be so dominant.
Listen. Have you seen the Brooklyn Nets, dude? I mean, like, oh, my God. It's just
That was because, like, I was just being so biased because I do not like the Nets.
About the Nets so much, and I said this in the preseason, who let them get Patty Mills for, like, free? Who let that happen?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Like, what were other teams doing? Did no other team want him? I think, like, the Lakers, like, didn't even meet with him, I think. It's like, Patty Mills is so good. He's shooting so well from three. He's such like a seasoned vet, man. I mean, the Nets are winning the title. And if those rumors about them being able to have Kyrie play at home are true, it's a lock. It's a wrap.
Shams went on McAfee show today and said it's not an option.
That's disappointing. But either way, this Nets team is so much better than last year's team. You know, we saw in the game.
I'm taking the Bucks over the Bucks defensively, what they can do. And I told you this, Graf. The Nets are a bad matchup for the Bulls. The Bulls would get smacked by the Nets, but the Bucks are a good matchup. I think
any team would get smacked by the Nets. I mean, good offense beats good defense.
I don't know. The Bucks, how good they are defensively.
They went to seven games last year with like only one and a half of the three stars.
One and a half. Yes, I guess you could say.
I mean, James Harden was playing on one leg. Come on.
Yeah.
But KD also went for like 50. Do you think he's going to go for 50 every game? Like he was going ballistic. Like KD was going bananas.
He would have been more well-rested and he wouldn't have had to play 48 minutes. He would have been more efficient. And
he was efficient though. He played.
I really think these teams around this Nets team, the surrounding cast is way better. I mean, Patty Mills is so much. Who was the Nets next best player last year? Jeff Green. I mean, Patty Mills is miles better than him. I said this when they drafted these players, Dayron Sharpe and Cam Thomas. I love those young guys. And Sharpe gave them good minutes last night. And then they have like a bunch of guys they're rotating. And then they have like James Johnson off the bench. This is a much better Nets team. And as somebody who loves the Bucks, I'm sorry, it's not a competition.
I love how every time we talk about the Grizzlies, every time we talk NBA, we always just like shift our topics around. But that's like, that's why the NBA is like, there's always something to talk about with each team, I feel like. But yeah, so you're the only one, Grap, that has Memphis out of the first round.
I've watched a lot of other games.
I just think I wouldn't be surprised if they were, but I think it's all matchup dependent.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, they have a superstar on the level of all these other guys. Like, John Morant's a superstar.
You need, make no mistake about it. As much as I love Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks, like, I just don't think they just need one more of like
Jamal
Murray type guy.
How much worse come playoff time is Dylan Brooks than like Rudy Gobert? Like he's honestly probably like
better. I think the Nuggets and Clippers, that's why I think those two teams are better. And the Jazz.
Well, listen, the Clippers are an anomaly right now because they're playing without two legitimate superstars. But the Nuggets, like Jamal Murray's not a superstar. Like he's a borderline star.
He's an all-star he shot effective field goal percentage of 56 last year. Super efficient, 86% from the line.
He's not an all-star to me. I'm not voting him in the all-star game. I mean,
if he's healthy, averaging 22 and the Nuggets are like the three seed,
but like 22 points, like that's not like a, like that's like a fringe star to me. I don't know.
It depends what seed you're on. If you're like the one seed, maybe not. But if you're the 15 seed, yeah, it's obviously not all-star material. I mean, look at Vucevic. Vucevic will make the all-star team averaging like 14 a game. But he's going to make it because the Bulls are the one seed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't even know if he will, but I don't know.
Make it Randall. If Randall gets voted in, that's a chat.
We're not getting an all-star this year.
I don't think Randall is even being voted by Knicks fans. But yeah.
No.
Let's move on to Mailbag Monday real quick. We'll answer like one or two questions.
Talk to us Thursday.
Talk to us Thursday. My apologies, y'all. So let's just, I guess, answer a couple questions, you know, real quick. Obviously, these episodes have been getting longer and longer because we just love talking, right? I mean, I just can't shut my mouth, it feels like. But we'll move on to these questions. And we'll answer the first one from, let's see this. Who would win in a boxing match from our man, Zoe King, who said DK Metcalf or Derrick Henry? Boxing match. Derrick Henry? Taking Derrick Henry.
I was actually going to take Metcalf. I think
because he's fat. He's more agile, right?
Right. He's a little bit more nimble.
It would be a good. That'd be a fucking fight, though. Holy shit. I'd pay to see that.
I don't know. I feel like NFL players are overrated as boxers, though. Like, you see
what the. Well, because they're not boxers. Yeah, like, that. Like, I mean,
I guess them fighting each other would be fun, though, because you're not going against a professional. Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be fun. Our next question is from. There's a lot. Oh, how was your day? I mean, I don't know. We're not gonna answer that one. But solid. Our day was good, I guess. Do you guys have pets?
Yeah,
I have a dog.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I have a dog as well.
We all have a dog, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, all have a dog. So one dog, stuff. Right? One dog, right? Each one dog. Okay, and then
my sister has a fish, but I don't know if it's.
That's actually kind of cool. Day Too Smooth asked, or he said, WSSP. That's all he said. I just wanted to shout him out real quick. Shout out to Day Too Smooth.
Thank you.
And then we'll get this question for from Robbie 454. So he said, top trade deadline move for the Celtics.
Yeah, I say in a perfect world, they somehow acquire a star, whether it's Lillard or Simmons. But
you know my hot take? You know my hot take for the Celtics?
What?
Trade Jason Tatum. I think you keep Jaylen Brown. I think you keep Jaylen Brown.
But like, what assets can you get back that would
probably not this year? Maybe an offseason move. I feel like that would be
an awesome. I just don't see what you'd get back.
Short term, they could have used a guy like Rondo to come back to Boston. They need a point guard who could play make.
I don't know. I just think that when you look at Boston, like Jaylen Brown, I think is just a better player. I think he is. I really think that highly of Jaylen Brown. He's obviously a better defender. I think his shot creation is like on that same level, maybe a little lower because he's like, you know, obviously not as tall as Tatum is, but he's a good playmaker. Like I think he's developing into a good playmaker, Jaylen Brown as well, a better one than Tatum is. So that's what I would rock with. And Tatum has more value, to be honest. Like, you look at the efficiency numbers, too. Like, I saw a graph. Like, Tatum's not shooting the ball that well this year.
No, he has not had a great season.
Like, Jaylen Brown's been shooting the ball, like good to his – just a good season from Jaylen Brown again. I would rather have him. And then Tatum, you get that top 10 trade value back. You could trade him for, like, maybe a Dame. I don't know. Maybe a Dame in the offseason. I don't know.
You know what? To be honest with you, though, I really do. I don't think we're going to see the best days from Dame again.
That I can agree with. He's already on the north side of 30. Yeah. I think he'll be 32 the next time we see him play.
I don't think we're going to see that again. That's my thought.
But don't worry, he's loyal though. So.
Okay, we're not. Come on, you guys always do these unnecessary bashes towards players. But
Damian Lillard has just been so obnoxious about it. Like he literally like always like quote tweets people and like calls out interviews like I'm loyal. Like every NBA star has trade rumors. That's just like how the media works. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel like he's so obnoxious about it. And then I don't know. Just the fact that they have convinced themselves for so long they can win it all when it's like clear as day that they can't.
I don't think he thinks they can win it all. I think he's just saying that.
Not this year, I hope not. Otherwise, he needs to be tested for some sort of insanity. But like
But come
I mean, like they're no, legitimately like imagine if like the Hornets, like if LaMelo Ball kept saying, oh, we're the best team ever, like we're gonna win it all. Like, oh, the Warriors are only good because they have KD, and then they get swept by the Warriors without KD anyway. Like, oh my god, that was CJ, but it's like all the same. It just like the Blazers just bother me. But next question.
Yeah, and then we'll I mean, there's a lot of questions that we have that are like, oh wait, I mean, this one's about Cam Reddish. Like, we've already talked about a lot of these. Like, a lot of people have questions about the playoff games, and I think we kind of gave a good recap of the playoffs. But let's answer this from Kevin Vasquez, who always, you know, gives us some questions. So shout out Kevin. And he said, who do you think the Bears will sign for a new head coach and GM? Head coach?
I think Brian Flores is going to be the head coach. I don't know about the GM.
No, because I think the Bears will go offensive mind, a young offensive mind. I think either Kellen Moore or Brian Daboll for their coach. Or Daboll. Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
I like Daboll a lot, but I've been seeing a lot of people talking about Flores that like there's a lot of question marks with his coaching staff, particularly offensively, and like there's like a lot of like bad stuff going on, a lot of miscommunication. So I don't know if Flores is like the hot commodity that people are necessarily like.
No, I think saying. Flores is great. Come on, Flores is.
I think he's great, but I don't necessarily think he's like as great as people think. I think defensively he did a great job, but there's no doubt his team's had problems offensively.
All like, I'll say is I think the Bears aren't a fit for Flores because I think the Bears want.
I completely agree.
I think there's rumors coming out about how the Bears want a young offensive mind and not a defensive, you know, coach.
Yeah, and then Daboll would fit that mold, right?
I think Brian Flores would be good with like, you know, maybe like the Vikings, the Broncos. I don't know. Other team like Giants, maybe. I don't know. We'll see where he goes.
I think the Vikings would be the best for him because you already have an established quarterback.
Yeah, no, me really too. Actually, I like that. That's actually where I had him going in my predictions to the Vikings. So I think that's good. And then, you know, I think he should get a head coaching job though for sure.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
The Dolphins, they blame Flores. But Flores was the one that wanted Herbert. I mean, you just listen to the guy. You get Herbert. And instead, Chris Greer, the GM, loves Tua much.
But listen. He loves Tua. McAdoo wanted Mahomes, you know? Like, this stuff always comes out. And it's like, just because they were right about one draft pick doesn't make them.
Oh, but
like,
listen. I mean, Greer literally kicked out Flores because they came into a guy.
There's no doubt the Dolphins made a mistake. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, like, Flores isn't perfect. And he has, like, his...
And Greer's had a bad 2020 draft.
I completely agree. Greer's horrible. The Dolphins made a mistake. I completely agree.
Yeah, so I mean, I would want to see Flores. I think free Flores, because like that Dolphins, I just think he's so much better. Like come on, to be fired, being like a top 15 coach and you're fired, that's crazy. And then we'll just answer this one from our man Ryan, who asked, you know, what's going to be the best playoff game to watch this weekend?
I think Rams and Cardinals on Monday night for me.
I'm not excited for that game, honestly.
I'm really excited for the Raiders-Bengals game, as I said before. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, that's solid. That's a good one. That'll be a fun. Yeah, I'm still going.
Games. Cowboys, I think it's half Niners. And half.
Half it's Cowboys Niners for me, obviously. I think that's the best one. Like Niners, best wild card team. Cowboys, really good offensive team, and defensively, they're really good. Actually, offensively, we don't know. It's a question mark at this point, honestly. But I think they'll at least do something right offensively. They'll be good. They have Dak Prescott, who's a great quarterback, and yeah, I mean the Niners. I'm excited to see Debo, defense, Jimmy G being healthy. I think. Jimmy G, I get like he's not the best, but like when he plays, the bottom line is they win. I mean, like what like, they win games, so I think they can make a deep run.
They're a better team with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Yep.
Right now, yeah.
I think Trey Lance could be better next year, though. We'll see. And that's gonna be it from the Sneaky Sports Podcast, season 4, episode number 4, on this Thursday, January 13th. Real quick, before we sign off on here, follow the socials as always, the TikTok, the Instagram, the Twitter. You know, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure to rate a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. And we actually have one new one that I want to read to you guys right now from Let Russ Cook 14. He said, my favorite thing to listen to every week. Have to check out this podcast if you're a sports fan. So he rated 5 stars. We appreciate you.
Appreciate that.
Let Russ Cook. And yeah, I mean, we'll read it on the podcast if you guys drop a 5-star as well. And that's going to be it from us. We'll see you guys on Monday to recap some playoff games. And I guess not preview the Rams game. That sucks on Monday night now because we can't even react to that one. But we'll react to the rest of them. So we'll see you guys on Monday. Peace out.